Well, last week we talked about grace, how God's grace meets us where we are, how God's grace transforms us, and we talked about how God's grace blesses us onward. This last piece, the understanding that God's grace is constantly working on us, is a very unique and special thing. There are a lot of places you can go hear a preacher talk about God's loving and forgiving grace for us. That's something you can hear lots of places. But the idea that God's grace is making us better people is something you won't hear as many places. But you'll hear it in a Methodist church because it was the core of John Wesley's theology and preaching. John Wesley believed that God's grace did more than just find us and say, okay, we'll forget the problems. John Wesley believed that God's grace made us into better people. Now, for those of you that don't know and aren't the Methodist nerd that I am, John Wesley founded what is now the United Methodist Church. And a lot of people were a little confused when he said, yes, you see, I have this idea that the Christians can be perfect. And they're like, John, you have so many problems, you have no idea how far away from that you are. And he was like, no, I get it. I still make mistakes. That's not the kind of perfect I'm talking about. Not the mistake kind. But John Wesley believed it was possible for all of us to live perfectly out of God's love and how we interact in this world. You see, John Wesley had this vision of what it would look like to really live like Jesus. And he prayed it every day. And in fact, we've already prayed it this day. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. If all of us could live perfectly as Jesus did out of God's love for one another and for the world and in all the ways we can, what a different place it would be. The idea of seeing God's will and love lived out in every action and interaction. Now, you see, John Wesley knew, and I'd say I agree completely, that God had and would forgive us. God's already forgiven us, and God will continue to forgive us every time we fall short. We find that kind of grace in the life and teachings of Jesus. But John Wesley wanted more. And I think that's a fair thing. John Wesley wanted more out of life than just being forgiven. John Wesley wanted to need to be forgiven less often. He wanted what he heard in the Lord's Prayer, but he also wanted what he found in Philippians, this beautiful verse. Not that I have already obtained this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. This is something we find in Philippians 3:12. See, John Wesley wanted more than to be forgiven. He wanted to not need to be forgiven. Isn't that sort of that nice desire? I would love to not make so many mistakes in life. I would love to respond the right way when someone is in need. I would love to have love in my heart when I hear of opportunities to serve and care. I'd love to, well, live it like Jesus would. The idea that we want to live our lives so that God's will could be done here and now in our actions and intentions. That's what we hear in that invitation in Philippians, is that we might press on and pursue the perfection that Christ modeled. And I tell you, there's only one way we can get there, and that's God's grace. If God's grace is powerful enough to forgive us anything, and it is, then God's grace is sufficient enough to transform us so that we can live God's love perfectly. And again, just because this can get misconstrued, I'm going to revisit a very important point. Living God's love perfectly is different than never making errors or mistakes. Living God's love perfectly is not going to help me balance on one foot any better. Living God's love perfectly would not have fixed my spelling grades in the sixth grade. Studying would have. Living God's love perfectly would not, you know, help me put the Tupperware away better in the cupboards at home. Listening to how my wife tells me they should go in the cupboard will do that. You see, what we're not talking about here is the little simple things of day-to-day mistakes, but we're talking about who we are and how we live. Living God's love perfectly is about following the commandment to love God and love our neighbor every moment and every neighbor. This isn't just a one day we say, oh, I'll try it and see how it goes. This is something we believe in that can drive us. This is the invitation. But then again, what does drive us? If only God can make this happen. This is that space, right? Well, if God's going to make it happen, I really should just sit back and let God do that. Oh, but That's the idea. The invitation to let God make it happen. You see, at one point in time, someone approached John Wesley and said, okay, do you really believe that God's going to make you perfect in love while you're living this life? And John Wesley, in this beautiful response, says, if we believe it not possible, how shall we ever attain it? I love that. If we don't believe it's possible, how are we going to get there? It just makes sense. On a very practical level, if we don't think we can, we're not going to get there. It's the thing that a lot of us use when we say, oh, I'll try. I think for a lot of us, the phrase I'll try means, I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm going to pretend to make an effort. Like, I'll try to clean out the garage this week. I will try to make sure all the laundry gets folded and put away after we run the dryer, that it doesn't just sit in the basket until I use it all. I will try to make it into the office on time, even though I know I'm going to have a very busy morning. How many of us have a list of things we're trying? This is the invitation to realize there's more than just a try here. This is an invitation to allow God to do what God does. And it's more than us trying. It's us inviting God into that space to do grace in action in our lives. You see, our belief in the possibility creates space for God to go to work in us. We've got to create the space for God to do so. Our belief in that possibility. You see, that's what we're about here at Highlands United Methodist Church. Every time someone joins this congregation, I get to ask them a few questions. And one of those questions is this. According to the grace given to you, will you strive to reflect the life of Christ in all that you do? That's actually a really big question. I mean, we've got the list, and it's easy to say yes to those. It's a nice, comfortable, kind of moment. But really, I always point out to folks, this is a huge question. And the most important part of it is that first clause. According to the grace given to you. Because that's the only way the second part of that statement is going to happen. And when that second part of reflecting the life of Christ in all we do doesn't seem to happen the way we wish it would, we fall back on the grace we talked about at the beginning. Because it's the only way we're going to get there. And it's also the grace that loves us when we don't. You see, there's this moment in the Gospel of John when Jesus is speaking to the disciples. Like he usually does, Jesus is making everyone uncomfortable. And so Jesus is talking and says, whoever loves me will keep my word. God will love them and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever doesn't love me doesn't keep my words. The word that you hear isn't mine. It's the word of the very God who sent me. And I've spoken all these things while I'm with you. And the companion, the Holy Spirit, whom God will send in my name, will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I told you. Just picture this for a moment. Jesus is sitting with the disciples and he looks at them and he says, by the way, you know all the things I've said for the last 3 years? Make sure you keep all of that if you love me. And I just wonder what the disciples immediately start thinking. They're like, do I remember all the things he said? Okay, he said that, he loved people, served people. They start making the laundry lists and I can just see him starting to check off the list. Okay, I can do that one, I can do that one. Ooh, that one's going to be tough. And I hope he doesn't remember saying that one, because I really don't think I can pull that off. Whoever loves me will keep my word. I can just hear the awkward response from the disciples of, okay, Jesus, we'll try. Knowing what that can mean. But maybe there's more to it. Maybe Jesus knew. That's all they have to do. If you'll keep trying, God and I are going to help you out. The red cloth we have on the altar today, both in the Native American community and within Christian tradition, the color red symbolizes the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus is talking about. God's grace comes through the Spirit to be with us, to help us get there. It's something Jesus promises. And it's something we will receive again in just a couple weeks at Pentecost. I can just hear it, Jesus saying, will you keep my word? Will you live life like I ask you? Jesus is asking the same question that we do here at Highlands. According to the grace given to you, will you strive to reflect the life of Christ in all that you do? And immediately after asking that question, he reminds them they don't have to do it alone. Which is the same blessing we receive here. Because when you join a church, What you're getting there isn't just the commitment of, yes, I'm going to try to live like Christ. You get the rest of this crew that says, we're all doing this together, and you're not alone. It's that promise when we gather together as God's people, God is present, the Spirit is with us, and we help each other along. This is the invitation. So this day, I hope you hear the words of Jesus reminding you that you are not alone in your work to try and live like Jesus does. That God's grace will help you do so. All you have to do is believe it possible, and God will go to work. That's the grace we find at this table today. When we receive the bread and the juice, we're simply opening ourselves to the possibility that God's love can do great things in us, that God's love can do great things with us, and that when we leave this place, God's love can do great things through us. That is the grace that we experience this day.